Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is with me in studio. Always a fun day on Thursday. Lee, we're gearing up to another big weekend of high school basketball. Last weekend it was IU U of L. This weekend it's IU Butler. It's like heaven, college basketball every day almost. And I don't like the cold, and I know we probably have some snow and some bad weather forthcoming, although I'm going to knock on wood as I say that because it's been decent so far. But I wish we could just relive this time of year and all the basketball that exists 365 days a year.
Absolutely, and we've got some teams winning that we thought would win. We've got some teams losing that we thought might do a little better. So typical basketball, whether it be at the high school or college level, you just never know, and that's what makes it exciting for us. And snow to the north of us, big snow to the south of us. We're kind of sitting in that rocking chair in the middle, enjoying winter as much as we can. So it's interesting right now.
Absolutely. And, of course, IU Butler this weekend, Crossroads Classic, a great showcase of Indiana's high major Division I teams. I've asked a lot of – this comes up every year. I ask a lot of people that are on the show their thoughts on the event. A lot of people would like to see Indiana maybe play in the 2K Classic or one of the events at Madison Square Garden to pick up another major opponent, maybe Kentucky with this event, instead of this event, I should say. But I like it. I'm an Indiana guy. I like the Indiana teams. I think it's a great showcase for our state. And I think Indiana's got a great chance to win this game with Butler. And Butler's been able to get the best of Indiana here in this Crossroads Classic series when they've met. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens Saturday. But for all the discussion that comes up every year about this time regarding this event, should it continue? Is it worthwhile? Could Indiana, who is probably the best brand or definitely the best brand in the event, should they go out and pursue other opportunities? And I'd love to see that IU-Kentucky game come back. I think a lot of people would like to see that come back. But I do think this is the special event that showcases our state. I've even seen this time of year some of the same things come up about the Crossroads Classic. I've even seen like people draw up a bracket. Why not expand it and put the Evansville, the Indiana State, others, and make it a little tournament and have the smaller schools play in to play the big four schools, the big D1 schools in Indiana. So I love that kind of stuff. I love watching and following in March Madness the colleges from Indiana and all the players that play their high school basketball in our state and to see how they do with their respective teams, even if they're playing for an out-of-state team. But I'm all for that stuff. So the Crossroads Classic, I hope, is here to stay, and I would like to find a way to see IU in Kentucky. I have a feeling, and I don't know anything, but I have a feeling that with the connection between the Miller family and the Calipari family that dates back to Pennsylvania many, many years ago, I have a feeling that that has a chance to maybe reappear in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. It's bragging rights, and of course the Indiana and Kentucky fans down here love to argue back and forth, and certainly would be a marquee game that people would want to see, whether it be in person or on TV. So, yeah, would like to see that too. That Butler-Indiana game, a lot of Butler alumni down in this area that have certainly felt very good about their basketball team the last few years. Not actually few, for quite a few years now. That Indiana-Butler game is certainly more than what we thought it would be when it first started way back when. Butler, an outstanding program, and it's just a fun Saturday to watch that game.
That's Lee Kelly. He's with me Thursdays on the Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Lee and I will have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day with IU and Southern Indiana sports presented by Hoopster Sports Reel coming up here in this opening segment. Later in the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us. Our chat with Alex on IU Hoops is always presented by CC Power Sports. And then later in the show, Lee and I always close things out in the winter with our Southern Indiana basketball update. It's a great opportunity to take a look, a quick look at a lot of things going on with basketball from the high school ranks here in the area. Lee and I will go through games to watch this weekend. We'll pick a game of the week, which there's a really, really big one that stands out on Friday night. We'll talk about some of the top performances over the last week, and we'll also name a player of the week from the last 7 days or so of high school basketball. Always fun to do. Our goal with that segment is to not just talk New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central, Silver Creek, some of the teams that always make it on the air here. We want to talk about a lot of players performing well at a lot of different schools of all sizes and from all locations here in our Clark and Floyd County area. So stay with us for that. That's how we'll wrap the show up later in the hour. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Now it's time for our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Lee, first I want to talk about Victor Oladipo. He had been out for a number of games, but despite him being out, and I know we don't talk a lot about the Pacers on a regular basis, but the Pacers have been playing some good basketball even without Oladipo. That continued last night in his return. Pacers win 113-97 over Milwaukee, a team that is very good in NBA basketball this season. And while Oladipo did not lead the way, that was Thaddeus Young with 25 points and 11 boards. He had a double-double in his game back, 12 points, 10 rebounds, looking like he didn't miss much despite being out for a few games.
Yeah, Pacers playing well at times this year, and hope they get on a run now that they've got Oladipo back in the fold, and that NBA season that seems to go on forever, they've got time to certainly make their mark, move higher up to get a good position for those playoffs, which will roll around sometime in April or May.
Yeah, the only time I can really get into the NBA once college ball and high school ball begins is when everything else ends, and it's the only thing still going. And I think, wait a second, this started before anything else, and now it's the last thing going. But the playoffs are good, and Oladipo has made it even more interesting to follow the Pacers. And I know there's a lot of fans back that are glad, I should say, that he is back in the Pacers lineup, no question about it. Next headline today, well, Romeo Langford. What do you know? He's always works his way into our headline segment, it seems. He is the most recent recipient of the gold practice jersey at IU. This will be the second time this season that he's had it. You know, it's like NBA. Before the season started, you really kind of watch that, and you crave basketball, so it's all that's on. Before the season started, finding out who had that gold practice jersey and some of the things going on from that perspective were big stuff. Now that we've got games and everything else going on, maybe we've forgotten about some of those smaller items because we're so overwhelmed with information and opportunities to watch the Hoosiers right now. But Romeo playing well, there's no question about it. He's been solid and consistent for Indiana. He's led the way in most games, and the fact that he is performing well in practice, that gold jersey is based on a lot of statistical categories, a plus-minus system that only the coaches know exactly how it works. But the fact that he's performing well, I think, in practice is no surprise to any of us or anyone listening, given how steady and consistent he's been for IU. Although, as I always say with Romeo, he hasn't, I don't think, yet reached his maximum potential for what he will do. I feel confident saying that what he will do this season, he will have some breakout games and breakout performances. But he's following up his big performance against Louisville with a big weekend practice.
You know, I had lunch yesterday with the guys, and none of us know, well, one knows a lot about basketball. The rest of us don't know anything. But the question came up, and it's come up a couple of times, why will Fennessy not pass the ball to Romeo? And they're talking about that offense where Fennessy brings the ball down the floor. Romeo's on the right-hand side in the corner, and they swear Fennessy always passes to the left, away from Romeo. And I said, I tell you what, I'll ask Matt. Maybe this has come up in some of his conversations with the knowledgeable people that follow IU. Do you notice that? Do you see that? I think it's just the way the offense runs and so on, but the question has come up twice now at lunch with the elderly gentleman
yeah,
I dine with.
I think I can recall what you're talking about. I don't think there's too much to think about there, other than maybe it's whatever set they're running is starting going the opposite way or whatever. But if there's any thought that Rob Phinisee's not going to pass Romeo the ball, they're roommates. They played on the Indiana All-Stars together. I went to the IU game Saturday. Coach Shannon of New Albany immediately got the opportunity to see Romeo Langford for a few moments before he got inundated with fans and who's right there with him after the win over Louisville, Rob Phinisee. So you don't see that on TV, obviously, but those guys obviously have a great relationship, I believe and know. So there's other times where I've thought, you know, he should get the ball here or there, but it's never really a specific player. But I think he's getting a lot of shots. I think we are all so pro-Romeo that even when you try to see things with fair glasses on, and Romeo's so – his performances are so great that it often – the love we have for him, his performance shines through regardless. But I think that we all want to see him get the ball, and I found myself at that IU-Louisville game in those tense moments saying, you know, get the ball to Romeo, get the ball to Romeo. It's because we've seen him – and other non-New Albany fans have seen him in so many key situations where, you know, if you get him the ball, there's a great chance that something's good going to happen. I've never seen a player that finds a way in big moments to score a basket or to do what needs to be done. And that obviously is not really any luck. It's his skill and how talented of a player that he is. So I wouldn't make too much out of that. I do recall what you were talking about, but obviously, two great kids, two great players, two young talents. Their futures will probably look a little different. Romeo getting to the professional level a lot quicker than Rob. But as I've said this week with Rob Phinisee, what he's been able to do as a freshman, the way that he's handled himself as a freshman and some of these big opportunities and big moments that he's had, if he sticks around for a number of years, for 4 years, like I think that he will, I just feel like he has an unbelievable opportunity not just to be a great performer and a point guard on the court for the IU program, but to be there over a number of very important years for the program, because the way Archie Miller's recruiting right now, I know a lot of people say, oh, but you're going to lose Romeo at IU next year, but there will be some other great players coming in, and it looks like this is going to be the case to continue each year with the way this guy's recruiting and the way he's developing players. So Rob Phinisee, I can't stress how important of a guy I think he has the potential to be in the IU basketball program, or even I'll say the history of IU basketball, if he's there for 4 years and is a part of some big changes and as a leader as he already is becoming, as Juwan Morgan said after the Louisville game. So interesting, though, to hear that. And those guys as freshmen are doing a lot right now.
Absolutely. We do have one thing. I know high school football's been over since Thanksgiving weekend, but Indy Star named their Mr. Football.
And a little controversy.
Not David Bell of Warren Central, a young man that New Albany fans are familiar with from basketball more than football. But this is the first ever Class A player to win the Mr. Football Award, and he won it convincingly over David Bell. Jack Kaiser is his name. He must be pretty good because he's going to Notre Dame.
Yes, and when that announcement was made, I think myself, like most other people that follow in-state football and in-state sports, are like, what in the world? David Bell is like the obvious lock. He's winning every other postseason award that's out there, and he doesn't get this one. And I guess trying to educate myself somewhat quickly on the voting process, it's nothing like Mr. Basketball in Indiana. The Coaches Association is involved. There's a certain number of coaches, and it's a low number. I want to say 60 coaches, 10 coaches
right,
per class that get a vote for Mr. Football. So obviously a 1A guy, 2A guy, 3A guy, they may be partial to smaller school football. They may not want to vote for a 6A guy. So politics involved. Hard to believe that there's anybody on the gridiron that is a better athlete and a better football player than David Bell. I do want to say this. David Bell is a classy dude. I remember him coming in the New Albany locker room after they stunned Romeo in New Albany to shake Romeo's hand, to be very kind to him and the team immediately after this happened. But on top of that, he yesterday puts a tweet out, tags in his tweet the Mr. Football from Pioneer. You mentioned his name, Kaiser, I think.
Kaiser, Jack Kaiser.
And was very congratulatory to him and very complimentary of his game. And I thought that was a very classy move, while everyone else on social media is bashing the Coaches Association and bashing the Indianapolis Star and anyone they feel associated with that award. Here you've got the guy that probably got really hated on the most, I guess, the best word I can use. He's complimenting the guy that wins. So good stuff can come out of bad situations, but David Bell will go on to be a great college
football
player.
And I don't think David Bell has made a decision yet on a college, has he?
No, Ohio State, Indiana, Purdue in there. There's some other schools, Penn State maybe. There's some other schools too, I think. But no decision yet. And he was at, I believe, the IU-Louisville game on Saturday, the basketball game as well. So interesting. Glad you brought up the Mr. Football storyline. A couple other quick headlines to get to. IU social media, I talk about this a lot, especially in the offseason. They put out a graphic yesterday, and I just retweeted it if you haven't seen it, but it's titled Homegrown Hoosiers, and it says 2018 and 2019 signing classes. It's got a picture of Romeo Langford, Rob Fennessy, Demezi Anderson is on there. It also includes Armand Franklin and Trace Jackson Davis. The state of Indiana is in the background. At least list each player's name and their hometown in the state of Indiana. A really cool graphic, and that's the stuff that fans love to see. But I'm telling you, you put that out to recruits, and I'm sure the same graphic we're seeing on social media, assuming it's probably a postcard or a mailer as well that goes out to some of the other great players in Indiana in the younger classes. But this kind of stuff, this marketing, now that Archie Miller has gotten Romeo and Trace and some of these other guys to bite on what he sold them to come to Indiana and stay in state, be a legend in your state, this is the kind of stuff that it can pay off for years to come. And Indiana is taking full advantage of marketing and social media, which is great to see. It used to be Kentucky and a couple other basketball programs were so much further ahead in using social media to ignite their fan bases. But Indiana has just done, especially in the offseason, and now that the season has began, they're doing the same thing and even more. But they've been great to keep fans excited and fired up and to promote the recruiting successes within the NCAA rules. So hats off to whoever's behind all this. They are doing a tremendous job, and a lot of times in the season especially, you don't think about this stuff or mention this stuff, but I've just seen some tremendous pieces come out, as I'm sure most people have, and this yesterday, it's a real eye-catcher.
You know, how times have changed from the old days of trying to find somewhere to watch the IU games on WTTV Channel 4 to where we're at today. With all of the internet sites and all of the social media that we have, times have changed just a little bit from those days gone by.
Absolutely. Last headline of the day is interesting. If you follow all the recruiting talk that we have in the summer, obviously that's a very important time for kids to prospects to be seen on their travel teams, their AAU teams. That's when the shoe companies have had circuits. July is obviously the big month when coaches can get out on the road. And some changes coming. We know that the month of June, when high school teams get together, you hear us talking about some local summer league activity that month where kids play for their high school teams. The games aren't really advertised as much. It's not as serious. There's no championship or sectional or anything at the end of it. But part of this retooling of the recruiting period in the summer was to limit the ability for coaches to be involved and go watch the shoe circuits and the AAU travel teams, and maybe to put more emphasis on high school basketball and high school coaches. And it was announced back then when these rules were officially changed, or the proposals to change, that June, when high school teams are together, would have 2 4-day windows that college coaches could get out and attend events that were approved to watch high school teams. So maybe New Albany and Jeff and Floyd Central go to Indianapolis to play against other high school teams and showcase their players with Archie Miller and all sorts of other Division I coaches in the stands. ESPN, Jeff Borzello, with a report yesterday afternoon that's very, very interesting, and we'll be curious to see what the outcome of this is. But the NCAA has said that the National Federation of State High School Associations, better known as the NFHFs, which the IHSAA is a member, will be allowed to sanction events that Division I college coaches can attend. Well, here's the thing. In Indiana, we have the IHSAA. It's the only governing body for high school sports. But you've got schools like La Lemire and LaPorte that are not a member of the IHSA that obviously have a ton of high school talent on their teams. You have prep schools up east and other type of high school programs now throughout the country that are not members of state associations. So those guys will not be able to play in June. They could play, but they wouldn't be able to have their players and Division I coaches to see their players. So it's very interesting. You've got other states like New York, and there are a number of states where there's two governing bodies. You've got a public school league or a public school body and a Catholic school or a private school body or league, depending on the state and how they're termed, what they're called. But only one, the one that's the member of the National Federation, will be able to have its teams play in June in front of Division I coaches. So it's going to be real interesting to see. It won't really affect anything in Indiana outside of this La Lemire team. And La Lemire may not care, because traditionally when New Albany and Jeff and the local teams are out playing in the summer, you never see or hear from them because their kids are dispersed across the country. They're not all from Indiana. Very few of them, in fact, are from Indiana. We hope none are from Indiana, because we don't want them to steal from our Indiana high schools. But, they might change their way of thinking and say, oh, we've got to get our kids together in June, and we need to get that exposure for them in the month of June as well. And then in other places, there are teams, Catholic school teams in New York and other places, as it stands now, would not be able to play. So, interesting. I really applaud getting the National Federation and the state associations involved. I love to see it go back to the high school coaches to get high school teams out there playing together with college coaches on the sideline more than the AAU teams. But this is going to be really interesting, because there are some people right now, and again, it really doesn't affect us in the state of Indiana, but there are some people right now that are left out in this new proposal, at least for June.
Will we see some big tournaments coming out of this in Indiana in that June period, kind of like the Eddie Ford Days Gone By, I think, games over at Freedom Hall that I used to go to on occasion?
I think now that there's some movement here with this report in the National Federation, I think you'll begin to hear dates or find out in specific states what has been proposed or what may happen. What I understand in Indiana is that the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association is going to be kind of the body that has the rights to those two weekends to put events, whether it's a showcase-type camp for kids or a team shootout or tournament or something. So it's still early on. There's a lot of different directions it could go. I'm sure everybody's still trying to figure everything out. But I did think it was worth mentioning, because we talk so much about recruiting, and Archie Miller has been so successful in recruiting Indiana kids and generally in recruiting so far at Indiana, that, you know, we're going to talk about wherever these kids are at in the slower time, especially in the summer, and it's going to look completely different this summer than it ever has.
And certainly Assembly Hall would be a great place to have a major tournament in the summertime. Bring all those stars in.
Yeah, that's another question. Are colleges allowed?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they can have team camps now, and they can watch those, but is Assembly Hall, is IU going to host a team camp? Does that mean that Purdue coaches can come? Does that mean that Notre Dame coaches can come, or Indiana State coaches? There was talk about that maybe events on college campuses for high school teams would be one route. So a lot of interesting things. And, Lee, before we get out of here for the first segment and get to Alex, and we're late getting to Alex, I apologize, but I do want to say this. For every bit as much as people are upset about Mr. Football in Indiana, and I agree, I don't know the process, but I agree David Bell should be the winner. I read a story yesterday that Kentucky has two Mr. Footballs. Their Coaches Association has a Mr. Football, and the Associated Press has a Mr. Football. So while many may not agree with who won the award, me being one of them, at least in Indiana, we have one Mr. Football. Can you imagine getting into a world where we have two Mr. Footballs, two Mr. Basketballs, different people issuing the same, basically, award to different athletes, different winners? So we're ahead of Kentucky, at least on that from that end.
You know, and I'm surprised, and maybe there are, I'm surprised there's not fist fights or gun battles down in Texas the way they revere football down there. So whoever, maybe each class has a Mr. Football, I don't know, but the way they feel about football, I can believe there would be some hard feelings.
Absolutely. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopster's is your hometown sports grill with fresh, made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopster's has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopster's in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports, next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, always with us on Thursdays. We talk IU basketball, and of course, Lee Kelly is with me in studio Thursdays as well. Our chat with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. And the Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County. They carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, gearing up for another kind of rival game. Last week it was Louisville. This week it's Butler. In-state tradition on the line. Some pride that goes along with that. And I think we're in for another IU competitive and challenging game on Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Yeah, Indiana, I think, this is the fourth time they'll have played Butler in the Crossroads Classic. They're 1-2 thus far. And so it's one of those games that not only is it helpful for your tournament resume potentially down the line, but it's also a game that Butler looks forward to every year, and a game that, you know, I think if Indiana is going to continue to kind of regain its place in the state, it's a game that Indiana needs to win more often than not. And into this point in the Crossroads Classic, Butler's had the advantage over the Hoosiers, and so it's, I think, an interesting matchup. You look at the computer rankings between both teams. I mean, KenPom has them right now basically a dead heat. The Sagarin ratings, they're pretty close as well. Should be a great crowd. It's always interesting just to kind of see how the crowds are for the Crossroads Classic. It's usually pretty evenly split between Indiana, Butler, and Purdue to an extent, and then Notre Dame doesn't usually bring a whole lot of fans. So it's a fun atmosphere and an event that, it's an opportunity for Indiana to get another win that'll look good on its resume, another top 50 team. They've got four top 50 KenPom wins right now, getting a fifth. I would put them in a pretty good position to at least close out the calendar year.
Alex, does Butler and IU go after the same players recruiting-wise? I know there's got to be some crossover, but as a rule, do both of these schools approach the same kids?
There's been some head-to-head battles. I mean, maybe a little bit more when Brad Stevens was there. Obviously, he went after Cody Zeller pretty hard. That was an example of the two going head-to-head. Chris Holtman, there was maybe a few instances where him and Tom Crean would go after the same kids. But now it's a little different, I would say. Butler, I think they're still a really good program. They can recruit nationally to an extent since they're in the Big East. But Indiana now is, at least under Archie Miller, they've kind of taken the top in-state kids, not only just from Butler, but really Purdue since Archie Miller's come in. So I would say with Butler, they're probably, in terms of the kids that they can go after and recruit, a tier below where Indiana is recruiting at this point. That's not to say their program's a tier below, because they've been very successful, and I think LaVall Jordan's going to do a really good job there. But it's just a little different in terms of the kids that Indiana is going after, at least now under Archie Miller. It feels like most of the kids that he's going after on the in-state are the top tier kids. And then when he does go outside the borders, he's going after more nationally higher ranked kids than Butler. But it really ultimately you throw all that stuff out when the ball tips on Saturday, and you know, Butler, I think, looks at this, I don't want to say as their Super Bowl every year, but, you know, there's no pressure on Butler in these games, right? Because if Indiana wins, everyone says, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. And if Indiana loses, it's what a great win for Butler that every year they do so much with less and that kind of thing. So that's kind of one reason over the years that I've wondered long-term if this is a great event for Indiana to continue to be in because, you know, Notre Dame and Butler, they're good programs, but that's not what Indiana aspires to be. They aspire to be in the same class as the Kansas, the Kentucky, and North Carolina, and, you know, the same in the past years they've had a scheduling conflict with the CBS Sports Classic that they were originally offered to be in. It's Kentucky, it's North Carolina, it's UCLA, and Ohio State is the team that took Indiana's place. And I think down the line, if I'm Archie Miller, and I don't know necessarily how he feels about this event, but I said the same thing under Tom Crean, you know, I would look at, you know, looking and trying to get into a different event if possible, just because Indiana brings the most fans at this event. If they don't win, everyone criticizes them. And if they do win, all everyone says is they were supposed to win. So I just don't see the long-term upside to keep playing this event. I mean, it's been, 7 or 8 years now, and I think it's going to go at least 3 or 4 more. But beyond that, you have to wonder just how smart it is for Indiana to keep playing this thing.
So, Alex, are you saying that you would not endorse my plan? And I'm joking, of course, but I always this time of year see people say we should let, you know, some of the mid-majors get a chance to play in and make this a tournament. And, of course, I know there's reasons why that can't happen, but you wouldn't endorse that plan, it doesn't sound like. Alex, I'm disappointed in you.
I would actually like to see Indiana play more of the in-state teams, maybe like a 2-for-1, like a Ball State, for example.
Yeah.
Ball State comes to Indiana twice, and Indiana goes there once, and they did that with Evansville where they played them twice at home and went down there once when they opened their new arena. Obviously, I think everyone now is a little hesitant with that based on what happened the last two times they played Fort Wayne and Indiana State, but yeah, I do think that people would care more about non-conference games with the in-state teams just because there's a familiarity. There's not, no offense to Montana State or some of these other teams, but, you know, nobody knows anything about those teams and nor do they care about them. So, you know, I wouldn't mind to see 2-for-1 type of thing, maybe a neutral court game, but not at the expense of, you know, the chance to play against North Carolina, Kentucky, or UCLA, on an annual basis on a neutral court to me is a lot more appealing than playing Butler or Notre Dame, but that's just my opinion on it.
You mentioned the upper echelon teams, the North Carolinas, UCLA's, Dukes, and so on. How much closer is IU in being mentioned in the same sentence with those teams rather than when Tom Crean was coaching the team 2 years ago?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put UCLA kind of in that top tier right now, but, I don't necessarily – I mean, I think from a recruiting perspective right now, I mean, they're obviously making progress in terms of if I would put them in the top tier of programs right now based on what they've done. I mean, they've gotten some great players the last 2 years, but they haven't made the NCAA tournament yet, which, they didn't make it last year. They haven't made it the year before. So, you know, in terms of just kind of their pecking order on based on results in recent years, I mean, they're nowhere near the elite programs like Kansas, even Michigan in the Big Ten has, you know, been to the national championship game last year, right now is ranked in the top 5. And I think that's kind of why Indiana made the change that it did. And this is not obviously me saying that Indiana's not in that tier yet. I mean, I think Archie Miller would say that, but you know, the inconsistent results over the 9 years of Tom Crean, sure, he had his seasons where Indiana was an elite program, but then the next year things kind of came crumbling down to kind of, you know, second or third tier nationally, and that's why, Indiana made the move that they want the consistent results. And so until you see a pattern of Indiana making the tournament and then making it to the second weekend or getting to a Final Four, consistently, I think you have to put them a notch below programs like Duke, North Carolina, Kansas. Just kind of the list goes on. Some of the Villanova has won 2 of the last 3 championships. So I think that's the challenge for Archie Miller. It's not just to recruit good players, which, I mean, that's the start of how you build a good program and a good team, but he's got to now, with this team, make the tournament, maybe win a few games, and then follow it up next year. Make the tournament every year consistently and give yourself a chance to advance. I think that's the challenge that sits in front of him, and whether or not he can do that will kind of tell the story of where Indiana is going to be positioned nationally moving forward.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, InsideTheHall.com with us. He's with us every Thursday, presented by CC Power Sports. This week and recently, specifically since the commitment, the signing of Trace Jackson Davis, we've really talked a lot about how Archie has dominated and taken over the state in just 2 years as Indiana's head coach. In his second year as the coach, as far as on the floor stuff with the team, the current team, how do you rate him so far? What are your thoughts on what he's done, what he's been able to come in and teach, what he's been able to come in and change as we enter the conference, full conference schedule coming up here in less than 15 days or so?
Well, I thought last year overall he did really well as the season moved along. They got better. Results aren't kind of what you want, but that was a team that was flawed in many ways. In terms of the job he's doing this year, I think, you know, they're a missed tip-in at Arkansas away from being 9-1, and I don't really think you'd find anybody that would have too much of an issue with the start that they've had, 8-2. Now, do they have issues that they need to correct? Yes, but the thing I like about kind of Archie and his approach is when he comes out and talks about different things, you know, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He says, you know, for the most part, what's on his mind and what they need to get better at. And just in terms of this team, I mean, the challenges that he's had this year so far with all the injuries, you know, you're integrating a player who, you know, everyone thought or thinks should come in and dominate. And for the most part, I think Romeo's played really well. You know, he's trying to balance Romeo with Jawan Morgan, who's established, a senior who expects also to have a lot of opportunities, and also with just a lot of young guys like a Rob Fennessy and other guys who are still trying to figure out their roles. And so it's just a much different team from last year, and guys are still figuring out how they're going to contribute and what they need to do on a game-to-game basis. But I think it's an encouraging sign that they've been able to win so many close games. I think it's good for them that they've played this many close games. They could probably have, you know, if they wouldn't have scheduled the Arkansas game, they could have played some KenPom 300 team and have another win, and they might be ranked higher and more, people might feel better about them. But I think they've challenged themselves early in the season. And I think you have to hope once Big Ten play starts back up that the experiences that they've had over the last, you know, month and a couple weeks is really going to pay dividends. Even going back to the preseason when they played Loyola Chicago in a close scrimmage, I mean, that was another good thing I feel like they've done. So, you know, I think Archie, his way that he's going to win games, I think is more sustainable than what we saw under Tom Crean, because I think he values defense first. Now, it doesn't always produce the most, you know, fun to watch games in terms of shooting a lot of threes and high scoring. But if you can play defense when you're having a bad night shooting, you're still going to give yourself a chance to win. That's what we saw in the Penn State game. That's what we saw in the Arkansas game. Overall, I think people should be encouraged and excited about the future because I think he's implementing a culture and a system, I think, that has a chance to build consistent results year over year.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. You can follow him on Twitter, at Inside the Hall. Visit the website at InsideTheHall.com. All types of great IU basketball and recruiting coverage as well. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. CC Power Sports bringing you Alex Bozich each Thursday here on the show. Alex, thanks. Appreciate the chat. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Lee Kelly and I will head to commercial break. We'll come back with our Southern Indiana basketball update segment, top games to watch this weekend. We'll have a game of the week, a player of the week, top performers over the last 7 days or so of high school basketball, and a lot more. Stay with us. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly with me. We always do during the high school basketball season, the Southern Indiana Basketball Update. We take a look at top performers over the last week. We'll give you all the games for local teams on Friday and Saturday. Lee and I will choose a game of the week. We'll also have a player of the week as well, and a little more commentary at the end, depending on time. But, Lee, another fun week of high school basketball.
Absolutely, and we've got some outstanding performers in this area to watch. Fans certainly should be out there on Friday and Saturday night and the occasional Tuesday to see these young men play, because they're turning in some outstanding performances. Last week, no exception. Let's take a look at what happened for the Jeff Red Devils. Trey Coleman, their star junior, 20 points in that Jeff win over Seymour, but he didn't do it by himself. They actually had 9 players score for the Red Devils in that game, including a couple of doggone good freshmen.
And Trey came back on Saturday after a big win. It was a tough loss at Carmel. He had 20 points in that game as well to lead Jeffersonville. So I know the result, the final score in that early test against Carmel, wasn't what Jeff fans and what Coach Luce wanted to see. But a game like that, an experience like that, it can pay some dividends down the road. So a tough one on Saturday for Jeff. We'll see how they do moving forward. Zane Gross of Silver Creek, he had 20 points for the Dragons as they won last week over North Harrison. That Silver Creek team is off to just a tremendous start.
Yeah, absolutely. And on Friday, Henryville's Cade Badger, a name that we haven't called a lot last year, and I think we did call him last week. Cade Badger led the Hornets with 27 points as Henryville beat Austin on Friday. Saturday night, Cade took it to a new level with 45 points on the night. That's the third highest single game total in Henryville's program history. Cade scored all but 12 of the 57 points for Henryville in a loss to Corydon.
Also, Ethan Carrier, he had 20 points last week as Christian Academy, who is shorthanded right now with some injuries, including their top player out. He had 20 as Christian Academy beat rival Rock Creek. That's become a good 1A rivalry game, both in the regular season and in sectional play. And the young player Carrier with 20 in that game.
Sophomore Trey Kaufman led the Dragons with 26 as 5 players scored in double figures as the Dragons beat Columbus East on Saturday night.
And I saw that game, and I think I mentioned this earlier in the week, Kaufman 13 of 13 from the field in that game for his scoring performance. And again, a very balanced Silver Creek team, very dangerous earlier. We'll talk more about the Dragons coming up here in just a moment. And Tuesday night, Jesus Diaz of New Washington, he had 29 points for the Mustangs as they lost to Salem. Let's take a look at some of the top games this weekend, really all the games for local teams in Clark and Floyd County. And, Lee, you've got the rundown starting with Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be Jeffersonville. They're 3-1 on the year. They're at Silver Creek, and the Dragons are undefeated at 6-0. The Dragons' den should be packed on Friday night.
That's going to be our game of the week. We'll have the broadcast right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Tremendous contest. Silver Creek, I mentioned earlier in the week, mentioned just earlier in this segment, they've got the talent to go a number of players deep. I think they can play quick. I think they can play slow. I think they can play outside in, inside out. They can do it both ways, given the vast amount of talent they have at different positions. And I really think they'll be a handful for Jeffersonville. But if Jeffersonville's going to compete for a Hoosier Hills Conference championship, and if they want to compete with Floyd Central and New Albany in the 4A sectional, this is a game they have to win.
Yeah, you're right. I think Jeffersonville is in a situation kind of like New Albany and other teams in that they have some veterans back, but playing together, learning the chemistry is going to take some time. The Jeff that you will see in late February and March, the New Albany that you see late February and March, maybe Henryville, maybe some of the others, going to be a lot different look than you see today. But Jeff could certainly start their confidence building with a good game or a win over Silver Creek. Unfortunately, I just don't see it happening. Coach Hoffman at Silver Creek has got it all going on. you get one kid in foul trouble, he's got two or three more on the bench that are good players to fill in. So it's going to be a whale of a game. People really should get out and catch that game if they can on Friday night.
I mentioned there are different styles they can play, but also what a mix of upperclassmen and some fresh faces as well. Not just the sophomores, Jacoby and Kaufman, when I talk about younger guys. They've got Cameron Northern, a freshman guard, of course, son of Bryant Northern. So lots of intriguing talent right now at Silver Creek, and going to be interesting to see how this one goes on Friday.
Absolutely. New Albany on the road at Seymour on Friday night, and Seymour 1-4 on the year, not off to a great start. New Albany won their first two, took a tough loss at home against Floyd last week. Really should not be much of a contest at Seymour on Friday night. I'll put the hex on Jim Shannon here. But New Albany really should start building their confidence back up. However, there's a problem with their opponent on Saturday night keeping that confidence going.
It's a good bounce-back game for the Bulldogs. Playing at Seymour is a friendly environment as well, and the opportunity to work out some kinks after the loss to rival Floyd Central a week ago. But you mentioned it, New Albany needs to improve Friday night and figure some things out because Carmel comes to town on Saturday, which should be a good game and a very big challenge for the Bulldogs. Jeffersonville got to see Carmel up close and personal at Southport in the Form Tip-Off Classic last Saturday, and it's New Albany that will host them this Saturday at the Doghouse.
Yeah, Providence is at Floyd Central, and Providence 2-1 on the year. Highlanders undefeated at 5-0. Going to be a tough night for Providence up there as Coach Smith tries to put it all together at Providence and get everything in order, get them playing his style of ball.
So, yeah, there have been some good moments so far for Coach Smith's beginning of his tenure at Providence, and there will be some good moments down the line, I'm sure, as well. I'm not sure that Friday will be one of those good moments, though, with Kobe Barnes and Floyd Central humming along at 5-0, taking on an undermanned Providence team.
Charlestown 3-2. They're at Rock Creek Academy. They're 2-5 on the year. That'll be a Friday night game. Christian Academy 2-2 on the year. They will be at South Central 2-3 on the year. Lanesville 4-1 against Henryville 1-5. We'll see how much Cade Badger can score on that Friday night game. New Washington 1-5. They are at Rising Sun. Rising Sun 1-3. We have the Washington County Invitational, one of the two games in that Invitational. Borden, 0-5 on the year at West Washington. They're 2-3. And if we take a look around the state, one of the big games up with top-ranked teams, Warren Central, 3-0 on the year. They play at Ben Davis. Ben Davis, 6-0 on the year.
One of my favorite players to watch, DeJuan Jones, the big man for Ben Davis, who's getting all kinds of Division I big football offers now, D1, and got some basketball offers from a more mid-major level as well. But that should be a good one. Ben Davis is really good. Warren Central is on a heck of a winning streak at 3-0 as well, continuing over, of course, from their undefeated season a year ago. But a good and a big slate of games on Friday night, but some good games Saturday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Silver Creek, two 4A games this weekend. Jeff on Friday, Bedford North Lawrence at Silver Creek on Saturday. B&L maybe not producing as well as people thought. They're only 3-4 on the year, but still a tough ball club. It'll be a night for Silver Creek to regroup after playing Jeff on Friday. Come right back, another tough opponent. Carmel 5-0 at New Albany 2-1. New Albany fans should come out. Carmel, one of the top-rated teams in the state. Got some players that are going to be playing Division I, and it'll be a good night. Come out and see that game as well. Jeff, 3-1 now, will be at Southwestern of Hanover, and they're 5-0 on the year. That could be a really kind of a catch trap 22 game.
Yeah, it's a tricky weekend for Jeffersonville. Southwestern, a smaller school, but they are really good. They've got a couple really good classes back to back, and at their place as well, Jerry Baumholt, a legend in high school basketball coaching. Not an easy weekend for the Devils. This will really test their mettle.
And Southwestern's got a nice gym. If you haven't been up there, it's not a bad drive, and there's a couple of restaurants in Madison if you get hungry, and like I said, a nice gym to play in. Crothersville 3-1 there at New Washington, who are 1-5. Floyd Central on the road Saturday night. They will be at Bloomington South. Bloomington South 2-2, starting slowly. beginning to put it together a little bit.
I think it'll be a good challenge for Floyd. They've been really good on the road so far this year, but Bloomington South is getting better. Anthony Leal has put up some big numbers in his last few games. It'll be Kobe Barnes and Anthony Leal going against each other, leading their teams against each other, and it's on the road. So we'll see how that goes. But I think that's the type of game Coach Sturgeon wants. He wants this team to be challenged and see how far they can take this.
Yeah. Providence 2-1 at Charlestown on Saturday night. Charlestown 3-2. These two teams could very easily meet again the end of this month in that Silver Creek Holiday Tournament. So they could face each other often here in the month of December.
Absolutely. And let's take a look at our player of the week over the last 7 days or so of high school basketball here in Clark and Floyd counties. We announce a player of the week every Thursday in this segment. It's been Kobe Barnes so far. The senior has gotten his season off to his team off and himself off to a big start so far this year. But we're going to go with another name this week, Henryville's Cade Badger. You mentioned earlier 27 points as Henryville defeated Alston on Friday. Then he came back with 45 points the next night. That was the third highest single game total in Henryville program history. He scored all but 12 points of Henryville's 57 points, even though it was a loss to Cordon on Saturday. Big weekend for him. Henryville not near the team they were last year. My goodness, they were so good a year ago and so fun to watch. But they've got Cade Badger, and if you've got a guy that can score points at that rate and at that number, they're going to win a handful of games this year, and we'll see how they develop. But congratulations to Cade Badger. He's our player of the week on the Hoosier Report for high school basketball this week. Lee, thanks for being with me. Always fun to take a look at where we're at and do this every Thursday to catch up with all the top players and teams in the area.
Not a better time than high school basketball and college basketball in Indiana.
That'll wrap it up. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.